You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 47.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, Omnisend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Now, today I'm chatting with Mark Fagiano, who is the CEO of TaxJar, and they're a leading technology for Shopify e-commerce businesses and other platforms, but they really help to manage sales tax. You know, TaxJar really seeks to make e-commerce easier for everyone by helping merchants literally spend less time on sales tax, which is an important part of a business, and more time kind of focusing on growth of your business that you absolutely love and are passionate about. So let's jump into this very, very important and necessary show about all things tax compliance. So hi, Mark. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Great to be here. How's it going today?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. You know, the tax, I guess, concept, is, as I mentioned at the top, it's important and necessary, but it's not the sexiest topic that I think people want to listen to. But on the flip side, it's a necessary evil of being an entrepreneur and selling and being a commerce entrepreneur, collecting money and giving the coffers their money as deserved. And so thanks for getting on the show. We're going to try to pretty it up as best we can, but it's important and necessary.
We call ourselves the kind of the sexy necessary evil, if you will. So we're kind of a combination of what you said. And you made me smile when you said this was a really important topic, because the early days of our business, not everybody viewed it that way. But these days, there's been definitely a shift in the way people are looking at the importance of sales tax compliance. So it's nice to have folks acknowledge that and realize that this is something that they need to pay attention to when it comes to running their business.
So on a high level, let's talk about what TaxJar actually does and what problem that it's solving for Shopify store owners.
Our whole mission is to make e-commerce easier for everyone. We're really passionate about helping entrepreneurs and small businesses. And now we're actually working with a lot bigger brands, but we are really focused on trying to eliminate what is a very painful problem that gets in the way of every e-commerce business eventually. So the way that we talk about this is we think we can move the needle in simplifying e-commerce by solving this very difficult problem called sales tax compliance. And the way that we do that is through automation. So we're automating everything from rate determination, so how much sales tax should be calculated at the point of sale, to sales tax reporting and filing. And ultimately, as you mentioned a little bit at the beginning, the ultimate benefit is the time saved, so that you can focus on, you know, the fun and more arguably more important parts of your business, which are generating revenue, hiring the right people, and scaling your business. So we're a little bit different in the fact that we're 100% remote company. So we don't have any offices anywhere. We've never paid a dollar in rent in our almost 6 years of existence as we're recording this. We have more than 15,000 customers, and you know, every single month we're saving thousands and thousands of hours so that entrepreneurs and business owners can focus on the things that they need to focus on to grow their businesses.
Yeah, I have a lot of opportunity being in the position I'm at to do a lot of app audits, and that's where I learned more about TaxJar, was actually seeing the TaxJar app in quite a few of my own merchants' admins, and they've obviously vetted it, made a decision, and it's one of those connections that they believe that it makes sense for, you know, in the shopping cart, be able to show the appropriate tax based on, you know, in the U.S., certainly states and counties, and there it can be quite complicated. I'm sure we'll talk about the differences between allowing TaxJar and its rate determination, how it compares to what Shopify has natively, and then on top of that, I guess it adds, as you mentioned, the whole reporting and submission of the money needing to go to the appropriate states and counties accordingly. So I think it's something that's, if you don't know about this, this is why you're listening to the show today. Let's talk about, I guess, your entrepreneurial journey leading up to launching TaxJar. I mean, what, as strange this question may sound, it's like, what uniquely positions you and maybe the founding team, maybe to have the expertise to want to develop a solution like this?
Sure. Great question. So at this point, I consider myself a career entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for longer than my very short stint in the corporate world, which reaffirmed my, I guess, distaste for that way of working. I was just not cut out to be kind of a cog in a wheel in a giant company. The biggest things have sort of all merged together over the almost 20 years as an entrepreneur are a couple of things. One is a real passion about folks that start their own businesses, right? Having started more than a handful on my own, I understand there are no easy days, right? None of what we do as entrepreneurs is simple. If it was, then more people would be entrepreneurs. It wouldn't be such a rarity, and it's becoming more and more of a rarity these days. So just being really passionate about acknowledging that this is tough and trying to help them solve problems. And that merged with SaaS started to become a thing, right? Building a subscription business. You could actually help business owners by building a product that they could subscribe to and automate some part of their business that they either don't have the time to deal with or the knowledge to deal with or just the patience to deal with, right? So all of those things have come together in the late 2000s and, you know, had some success there. One of the guys that has been around the longest with TaxJar, Ryan Thompson. He and I started two other businesses that we were able to get off the ground, successfully build and sell. And that put us in a position where we learned a lot. So this is not our first go round. And we understood, you know, the importance of a lot of things on the technology side, a lot of things on the marketing side, a lot of the things on building a team and how to treat employees and build a culture, all things that we apply to what we do here today. So the other big thing that I think about is I think we were just smart enough to listen to what customers need, right? So this whole approach of TaxJar has never been about my grand vision of what I think is the best idea out there, right? It's been the exact opposite. It's been what do customers think, right? Let's just build what they want. And that's how we got off the ground. So you read lots of things about product market fit and does TaxJar have product market fit, which is a question that people would say early on. Well, we knew that within the first 30 days of the business because we built exactly to a T what all these entrepreneurs had told us were the most painful things about sales tax compliance. So although there was anxiety, you know, whether or not people would actually convert and pay when they said they would, sure enough, they did, which is great. You know, we built exactly what it is that customers want. And that's been a focus of ours since day one. Build the best product we can possibly build, take care of our customers, treat them like human beings, and give them a product that they can truly consider to be autopilot for sales tax compliance. So those are things that I think experience sort of provide, right? Those are some of the things I think uniquely positioned us to be able to be successful right off the bat and be able to grow the business as quickly as we have.
It's interesting alignment you have with Shopify, because I think one of their mantras is building a path that leads to more entrepreneurs. You know, you seem to be having a very similar, and I think that, you know, Shopify also has a very large remote culture. I think probably more people work remotely than work out of offices, or certainly half and half. And so that's interesting. And that seems to be the way of the future right now. Culture is important. You know, I just wrote a bunch of notes down here, but this is in complete alignment, I believe, in what Shopify is actually executing on right now with their plan. So the whole tax compliance thing I know is ridiculously important, but it's been over the last year or so, it's been on a lot of people's minds more than normal. And people have been collecting tax or not, or, hey, it's being shipped within my same state, or it's being shipped out of state, so I don't need to charge and submit taxes. And there's been lots of very ambiguous kind of concepts going on, and not a lot of accountants and tax planners really knew how to deal with it. I think just government in general didn't know how to deal with this. And then, lo and behold, unless you've been under a rock, there has been something about a year ago, I think June-ish, June 21st of last year, 2018, there was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that came down, this whole Wayfair, which is an online retailer, like wayfair.com and .ca, versus South Dakota. So of all states, South Dakota decided to bring it to the Supreme Court. This ruling is now out there in the wild. Can you, because this is right in your wheelhouse, can you explain to the listeners, I know it could be a whole podcast talking about this particular Supreme Court ruling, but can you talk about, just on a high level, I guess, and summarize it? What does it mean now for online businesses with this ruling?
So you mentioned the word ambiguity, and I think that's really important. Previously, there was a lot of ambiguity. So, you know, we're almost 6 years old, and we kind of think about our business pre-Wayfair and now post-Wayfair, because it is that different. Pre-Wayfair, there were plenty of laws that were written, but they were written in such ways that there were a number of gray areas, right? We found that customers would fall into one of two buckets, which would be, I don't care if there are gray areas, I'm not comfortable with being non-compliant, I'm going to do whatever it takes, right? And then there were folks that said, I'm going to do my own interpretation here, I'm comfortable with taking some risk. And, you know, if a state government or somebody comes after me, I'll deal with it then, right? Basically, the way I describe it is Wayfair eliminated all of that ambiguity. And now the laws are very black and white. And by the way, as we're recording this, the laws are being established, changed, updated, it seems like on a weekly basis now. So, you know, if we were to have this conversation 6 months from now, there's probably more lines of legislation than there are as we're having this exact conversation. Right. And so the antiquated way, the pre-Wayfair way of thinking about sales tax compliance was based on physical nexus or physical presence in a state that equaled nexus. Right. So, and if you think about it, right, the laws were written in such a way, it was pre-internet, right? So it was more like, you know, does Steve have a storefront in a particular state or town? And most businesses didn't have a multi-state presence, right? Very few go on to be the, you know, the large retailers that have presence in multiple states. Right. So the laws basically said, if you have a physical presence, you need to play by our rules and comply in our state. And where things started to get to go back to ambiguity, right? Then the internet comes along, and any business that sets up shop now has a presence, arguably, in a number of different states. For reasons like maybe they have remote employees, maybe they have some sort of distribution center, maybe they have inventory in other states. So there's all these sorts of triggers that didn't exist in kind of the pre-internet world, right? Mm-hmm. So what Wayfair has done is basically said, that's still true, but we're going to add on top of that. And what we're adding on top of that is what's essentially known as economic nexus, which says, okay, Steve's shop that's selling, Steve, what do you, we used to sell some stuff, right, on eBay?
Yeah,
right?
Contact lens company.
Okay, so Steve's selling contact lenses, and I don't care if Steve has never been to California in his whole life. I don't care if he doesn't have employees out here, no connection whatsoever. We're going to establish a law that says either based on revenue volume, like gross revenue volume, or a transaction count. If you sell to a certain amount of customers, you know, over 100 transactions or 200 transactions, depends on the state, mm-hmm. Now you have to comply with our laws, right? So the trigger is totally different than what it was historically. Right. And again, there's no, I can't emphasize enough, it's totally removed that gray area, right? So the story that I always tell is after the Wayfair decision came out on that June 21st, that came out sometime in the morning here, East Coast time, within 30 minutes, we were getting phone calls from large brands who were saying, okay, enough is enough. Like I'm done being on the sidelines. I need to comply now. I totally get it. I was waiting for this day to come. Like I can't argue anymore that this is ambiguous. Hopefully that explains it. But that has been a major, major monumental change for the way that folks had looked at compliance. And then also, you know, for our business as well, obviously.
Yeah, you made a comment about the couple different types of merchants that are out there. So there's the ones that are collecting all the money and submitting and spending the time and the energy through an accounting firm or a tax company to be able to get this tax money distributed accordingly to the states and counties and whatnot. So those are the hardcores pre Wayfair. But you also talk about these risk takers that kind of had their own ideas of what they believed the law was, and they were choosing just because it really. A lot of their peers weren't doing much either, though, so they were willing to kind of risk it a bit. The sad thing about that is that, there's a significant amount of stories, true stories, that are going around the web about brands that are being audited and sued by states, knowing that they have blatantly chosen to not collect and submit the appropriate tax. They know based on a lot of different things, especially if they're a public company, but they know by traffic, some public records. I'm sure there's other ways for people to look up how busy a brand is online and going, wait a second here. We believe, you're, a $40 million brand and in a percentage of North American people and the size of our state, we believe that, you have this many customers. And so now, like, what's your take on those sorts of people and have you heard much as of late how that's flushing out?
Look, we've heard stories pretty frequently about exactly what you're talking about, which the states have their own creative ways to figure out who has some sort of volume that they need to pay attention to, right? And at the end of the day, the states are going to chase the volume.
Right.
They're not going to, from what we've seen, they're not going to chase, a much smaller store that is just trying to get off the ground. Now, that being said, since Wayfair, we have seen a pretty significant uptick in terms of businesses that are getting letters because now they have greater authority, right? They're reaching out across the borders to go after these remote sellers, which is, again, that's kind of the new concept. Mm-hmm. So I don't have hard data on whether or not we're seeing more or how much more of that type of conversation happening, but it is a constant for sure. And it kind of goes back to the point, right? Those stories always existed and those things were happening pre-Wayfair. And some people chose, not to believe them. But again, the law is pretty black and white now. So there's not a whole lot to argue. The other thing I'll mention here, this is not about the profile of the merchant who was non-compliant, right? That all of a sudden chose to be compliant. There are hundreds of thousands of other businesses that were compliant. Right. But now are being forced to be compliant in 5 more states, 10 more states, 25 more states. Right. So that there's that happening as well, because those stores are triggering remote nexus in a number of different states that have already established these remote nexus laws. So that whole trend is going on at the same time.
I see. So it's a nice pivot here, but I guess my next question is about, you mentioned, I think, some almost like 15 some thousand customers as of this recording. Because for those listening, there's people on Shopify Plus, there's some people on early stage kind of startup-y people too. So we have a full range. And so can you talk about how you believe TaxJar or what type of customers that TaxJar serves best?
So we've got, as you mentioned, over 15,000 customers, large and small, right? So from companies like the American Cancer Society, Citizens Humanity, and we've got thousands of Shopify stores as well, like Coffee Julie's and Daily Nutrition. There are merchants that are just getting themselves off the ground to merchants doing huge brands, doing a significant amount of revenue, over hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, mm-hmm. using TaxJar. And I invite anybody to look at, if you go to taxjar.com/reviews, or just do a search about TaxJar reviews on Google, you'll see what our customers say about us and see testimonials. you know, we're not particularly we're not focused on a particular niche or anything like that. Like anybody who's online can and wants to comply or needs to comply can use Textjar.
Now let's pivot off of Shopify and let's talk about marketplaces, because the expansion, you know, it's definitely a top of funnel kind of an acquisition and a conversion strategy to want to diversify where the customers can be, and Amazon being one of the largest marketplaces. How does Textjar fit into the Amazon world?
And this is actually one of the things that makes us different. We have, since day one, since we built this company, have looked at the typical merchant scenario as being a multi-channel seller, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, in the early days, they probably had some sort of legacy eBay store, right? They have to have an Amazon presence, right? And then they're selling direct to consumer on Shopify, for example, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we acknowledged that early on and realized that it was really important. The additional complexity is that eBay handles sales tax differently than Amazon, than Shopify, than, you know, whatever marketplace or shopping cart that they're using. Right. So it was really important for us to establish a very simplified way for the merchant to plug in those, what we call integrations, right? Wherever they're selling to Textjar, we'll take in that data and normalize the data and give it back to them in a format, what we call reporting, in a format that they can use to file the returns, or they can choose to have us file the returns automatically and remit them back to the state. Amazon was one of our first integrations. We realized a lot of our early customers had a presence there, and this was a big need for them. Right. Amazon will collect the tax for you if you enable it, but then they stop from there, right? They're not going to do the reporting and the filing, and they're set up to be a single channel, right? So they're not thinking about your Shopify sales, for example. So that's where we come in, is that you can connect, get the full picture of your entire business, and we'll help you automate the post-transaction side, which is the reporting and the filing.
So let's say, for example, someone has a pair of shoes on Amazon. They're $100, and it's going to, let's say, some California somewhere, and they're a 7% sales tax. So the all-in price from Amazon is $107. Now, less the seller fees and other different things that Amazon tax on, in the end, so in essence, you're saying that it's going to be $107 is collected, less whatever fees that come off that are then given to the merchant, and then waiting for fulfillment to happen. If it's, you know, if it's FBA is one thing. If it's fulfilled by the merchant, that's another separate situation. And so are you suggesting that the connection now with Textjar and Amazon, you know the fact that Amazon has collected the $7, you know where it needs to go. Amazon is not going to do it for you, but now connecting to Textjar, you know that $7 is owed to a certain state in California.
Yes, that's exactly it. And as a former resident of California, I wish the sales tax there was only 7%.
I know it's 9.25 for a lot of places, yeah, but
yeah, I probably wouldn't have moved from there if taxes were like that. But so that's essentially it, right? I could talk about this for a lot longer, but one of the things that people find valuable in Textjar is they actually figure out that they're not collecting sales tax, and they thought they were. Oh. Right. So they establish their Textjar account. They start seeing data and they ask us a question. Why aren't I collecting sales tax? Well, you haven't enabled it yet. Right. So that's one thing that we can easily show you. But we can also let you know if you're collecting accurately or not. Although they enable collection, it's not exactly straightforward about how to get that collection as accurate as you need it as a merchant. Right. Because there's the merchant who's selling sneakers is different than the one selling grocery items and the one that's selling lamps. Right. So how you enable the collection is different in all three of those cases. And we have tools that'll basically raise a red flag to say, you know, based on what you're selling, you're not collecting enough or you're over collecting. And then, using California as an example, not only can we tell you that, but now we're taking that data and we're giving it back to you in a format that you can actually use to file. So California, it probably takes, if you're going to manually file a return, just entering in the data to California, it takes at least 30 minutes. And the reason is because they have hundreds of districts and you need to report sales by district, right? So it's not as simple as saying, I had $10,000 in sales last quarter, you tell me how much I owe. It's no, I had 10,000, but I have to report this much to San Diego County. I have to report this much to Riverside County, et cetera. So that level of granularity is what saves our customers so much time.
So the next question I have is more about natively what Shopify has built in to the admin as part of the checkout flow. Can we talk a little bit about what Shopify has natively and then compare that to what TaxJar has? Because I know that when we add the app, now TaxJar takes over for showing the appropriate tax based on where it's being delivered to. And so I just want to just like to hear from you how those are different. And then we'll probably get into a few other competitors in the same space and kind of what differentiates you.
To be clear, natively, Shopify is going to help you pre-transaction. You can enable sales tax collection through Shopify. And that's pretty typical of Shopify's of the world, if you will, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where they stop is post-transaction, and that's where we come in. So TaxJar does not have the ability to influence rate determination. If Harley or
Toby,
others are listening, yeah, Toby are listening, we would absolutely love the opportunity to do that. and our customers would, I'd like to think, would feel the same way. But where we're currently providing value is after the transaction, which is kind of what we've talked about, right? Getting all that data into one central location, normalizing it, and then getting it remitted to the states and filed on time accurately.
You have the appropriate tax rates and you are collecting this money, but it's just, what are you doing on the reporting side and normalizing it all? And then what's the process to be able to submit this money accordingly to the states and counties based on where you've shipped your goods?
That's right. And to go back, I mean, that's how we originally built the business, because the reporting side, we actually just launched with reporting because that's the thing that customers told us off the bat. That's what wastes the most time for them.
Right.
Pulling down a report from Shopify, pulling down a report from Amazon, trying to like figure out, okay, I see I had a bunch of sales in California. How in the world am I going to get that into these small buckets that California requires, right?
Like, right.
I can't take the weekend to do that, which is what a lot of customers told us. Right. They would lock themselves in a room just to get it to into the format they needed.
Right.
So yeah, that's where we take over.
So there's a couple other competitors on the market that, you know, that do some kind of tax compliance. They may even have some submissions and stuff. Can you talk about, you know, how your solution is unique in relation to what else is available?
My favorite question, obviously, right? But the way I always start this question is that we are just different. We're different in a lot of ways. We admittedly have not been around as long as others that have been around 2, 3, 4 times as long as us. And we think that's a huge advantage from a technology perspective. Okay. We're built on a modern technology stack. All of our technologies talk to each other. We haven't made a number of acquisitions yet that don't necessarily, that are living disparate locations. So that's number one. We consider ourselves a technology company, first and foremost, that's trying to make e-commerce easier for everyone. We are not a sales tax company. And that resonates very well with developers, the developer community, and also customers. They just want this to work, right? Like, what do you mean this didn't work? What are we paying you all that money for? Those are conversations that we avoid because our technology is so strong. Right. The next thing is the fact that our pricing is very straightforward and transparent. So we believe, we mentioned before, culture is so important to us. As a culture, both internally and externally, we're just going to tell you like it is. And pricing is a big component of that. Right. So if you go to our website, you see our pricing. We don't have any gotchas. We don't have any extra fees. Customers that we win every single day from our competitors, in a lot of cases, are really frustrated with those fees, right? We don't have to pay rent. We don't have a giant size skyscraper that we have to support. We can instead focus on building the best product that we can and being extremely economically efficient. And the last thing is, it's one of our core values that we're going to always do right by the customer. And this is one of the things that we learned in a previous business. I'm a firm believer you just do the right thing on the planet anyway and treat people the way they need to be treated. So as we started the company, we knew that support was going to be really important, but we never dreamed it would be such a huge differentiator for us. We have made ourselves very, very different in the fact that people enjoy talking to our team. They trust them and they know that we're going to be, you know, straight shooters with them. The combination of those three things are what make us very different.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great to hear. That resonates with me also, you know, just being a remote worker also. And the fact that why are we investing money in a skyscraper when you can really double down and focus on the roadmap and the product and listen to customers and have great customer service and do the right things. And I think that's a great mantra to live by. Now, this show has, as you probably imagine, has quite a diverse range of listeners. We have a lot of people that are maybe in the early stage, you know, these SMBs, these small businesses. And so can you maybe share in your opinion, because you do have 15,000 customers right now and you are an entrepreneur yourself, what sort of things do you think that they should be working on today if they're an early stage entrepreneur on Shopify?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics. Not to say that I have all the answers, but I have been through the wars, as I mentioned, 5 or 6 times now. So I'd like to think I have learned a few things. So the things that come to top of mind first are, first, prove that you have a business, right? I see a lot of businesses get started and they try to line up, get their ducks all in a row in terms of compliance and legal and all those things. That's great, but you've just robbed yourself of the time of actually trying to make another sale, right? So I'm not saying like bend the rules or do things that are going to get you in trouble or anything, but have some perspective of where your business is first. Right. Like you've actually got to prove that you can get to a point where, you know, you can quit your job and do this full time and then get to the point where you can hire someone if you need to and, you know, bring in a family member or whatever it is, right?
Right.
I would really focus as much attention as you can to that and, you know, things like sales tax and all the other stuff. Worry about that when the timing is right. I would hate to see, I tell business owners this all the time, don't go do a ton of compliance work and sales tax when you haven't even made your first sale yet, right? Or, you know, you haven't even proved that you can do $1,000 in a year or some amount that's going to make you feel comfortable that you actually have a business first. So that would be one thing. And the other thing is what we do, I mentioned this before, what we do as entrepreneurs is hard. There are very few easy days. This is just, it's just a hard gig.
Right.
And it's really important to keep that perspective, like celebrate the wins. When you have a great day and you break your all-time single day sales record, step back from your desk and, you know, celebrate or go for a walk or do something fun with your family. Because there are very few of those days. I'm not trying to be negative, but it's true. There's just so much hard work and dedication involved with trying to build a successful business. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this either, but it's really, really important to acknowledge the good days and the milestones. And if you do that, it just makes, it motivates yourself to get to the next level. And if you keep doing that and keep your head down and work hard, then good things will happen.
Yeah, it reminds me of a book from Darren Hardy, I guess former Success Magazine guy, wrote quite a few books, but The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster. What an interesting book, talking about the highs and lows and the ups and downs that go along with entrepreneurship in general. And, sure. You know, a lot of people listening to the show, they have made that choice to be an entrepreneur. They're doubling down on Shopify. You know, they're either importing products from overseas, they're manufacturing it themselves, they're buying from wholesalers, whatever their business model is, they're passionate about what it is that they're retailing and the vertical that they're involved with. But, you know, that's, you know, great learnings from you with previous businesses. I've shared on the show that it's not been rainbows and unicorns for me either. I've had very successful businesses, but I've also failed massively on others too, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars failures. And so those sorts of things happen. It's truly not a failure if you actually learn from it and pick yourself up and then continue on. I think you're right on the money and I'm in complete alignment about focus on your business and getting customers and think about, you know, and hate to say it, it's easy-ish to get your first sale. But what's challenging is getting that same customer to buy again and think about the whole, the lifetime value and the frequency and the recurrence of people continuing to buy from you. And I think doubling down and focus on that along with some tax compliance things is not a bad thing, but it's just prove you actually have a viable business and move forward.
Failures are, they're really hard to deal with in the moment, right? But looking back, as I'm having this conversation with you right now, I mean, thank goodness I went through those failures for me, right? Because I learned way more than I realized at the time. And it just made the next go around that much easier. And you have to pick yourself up and say, if I'm committed to being an entrepreneur, I have to start this again and try something new. And the failures just make you better.
Absolutely. So that's the early stage startup-y people that are listening today. What about those that are listening that would be more considered in the mid-market? You know, maybe they have a small team and, you know, they're eager to kind of grow and scale. Like, what should the executive team or the, you know, the marketers that are involved with this brand, what sort of things should they be working on?
One of the things I think about is that growth causes complexity. I'm not going to say it causes problems or issues, right? But it just things get more complicated. And you know, we talk about it a lot at Textjar. We're growing like crazy and it causes new things to rear their heads, right? Like it's just, oh, we've got an issue that something that came up that we've never thought about before. Like, how do we go solve that? So you have to be open to new things popping up that you maybe never even planned for. And as long as you have a really smart team and you're hiring the right people, then you can go solve those problems. One of the things I'll say is if you don't have the right person in place to solve a particular problem that has come up, you got to make sure that you go find the best person you can and have that person be a problem solver for you. Right. So the Shopify merchant that's mid-market, they're adding more products, they're selling through more channels, they've got more volume, they're shipping to more states, and all of this stuff is happening. So managing those changes can be a huge bottleneck. If I think specifically about sales tax, like right now, trying to wrap your head around the level of change that's happening is almost impossible. Like it's just so hard. We have a full team that does it, right? So how is a small business or a mid-market business going to keep up with something like that? So one of the things you have to look at is the fact that your time is the most valuable asset that you have.
Right.
So for example, with sales tax, at some point you have got to think about a way to eliminating all of the wasted time and effort that you have and pursuing automation to solve that problem for you. I think there are other examples where automation can really help your business, but obviously I'm closest to the sales tax issue.
Yeah, I would add to that too is that it's, you know, it's a mantra that I think about a lot, but you know, we all have strengths and weaknesses as business owners. And I really think the automation is interesting. I also feel that you should really double down on your strengths. I mean, we all have weaknesses, but just based on the limited time that we have working on our business along with other things that are part of our life, I really feel doubling down on your strengths and executing on those and things that are a time drain that are just maybe not the highest level value that you could be offering the business as far as its growth. We're talking about tax compliance and submissions of taxes. Necessary evil we talked about at the beginning, but it's like it needs to be outsourced to someone else who's an expert at it. Your team of people that understand that and have a technology that allows for those sorts of things to happen. And then it alleviates, as you said, locking yourself in the room once a month for an afternoon to solve these sorts of things. I think that's the way I see it.
Yeah, that's really well said. Couldn't agree more.
So let's talk about the roadmap for Textjar, you know, being a technology company and you obviously must have a 2019 roadmap. Can you talk about any alignments with partners or just in general, like how you're helping Shopify brands moving forward?
So talk about doubling down. That's a big part of what we're doing this year. So we raised a Series A at the close of last year with Insight Venture Partners. And people are always asking me, you know, what are you going to do? What are these big new things that the Textjar is going to do to differentiate itself? And the simple answer is we're gonna do more of what got us here, right? So we have to stay really, really close to the customer to make sure that we're building exactly what they want, right, to build the absolute best product we can. Timing is pretty good for that. There's a lot of new complexity in sales tax that didn't exist a short time ago that we've already talked about. And to do that, we need to build a bigger team, which we've been aggressively doing, kind of getting like all the fundamental building blocks in place so that we can provide an even better product at a deeper level for more customers. At the end of the day, we're always going to do the same thing. We're going to provide the calculations, we're going to do the reporting, and we're going to file those returns. And we want to be able to do that for more Shopify merchants. I mean, that's our goal.
So we are nearing the end of the show. Do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
As always, if folks are struggling with a current sales tax provider or they're just trying to wrap their heads around what are we as a business supposed to do with sales tax compliance, then go to taxjar.com. We have a tremendous blog with hundreds and hundreds of posts. We're trying to educate merchants so they can make the best decision for their business. You know, we trust the merchant, right? Like we're not going to try to scare you into anything or force you to make a decision. Our job is to give you the tools and the education you need so that you can make a confident decision. And we're willing to bet that if you get to know us a little bit and try our product that you're going to be a Textjar customer. So We've got a very simple setup. It's a one-click setup for Shopify merchants. It's in the Shopify App Store. For those that have more complex businesses and the complexity of compliance is ratcheted up over the last 12 months. We do have something called TaxJar Plus, not to be confused with Shopify Plus. And the implementation on that is also super fast. We've got a tremendous sales team, and I invite you to reach out and talk about how that might be helpful for you.
Very cool. I did, and I will make sure I put it in the show notes, but really great blog post about Shopify sales tax in general. And, you know, you talk about the whole painless kind of sales tax reporting and the filing for Shopify merchants. I think that's exciting that there's a really great sheet here, one pager that really talks about the importance of, you know, how you're able to import the sales and kind of order history from Shopify, including your multi-channels that you mentioned before and multi-state kind of reporting and stuff like that, and being able to have these reports. And then if you choose moving to Shopify or moving to TaxJar Plus, which then allows to take these reports and then submit the appropriate tax to the appropriate state or county for full compliance. I think that's exciting that you have that functionality for this kind of auto filing your taxes, so to speak. I think it's really exciting that you have that opportunity. It's not a necessity, depending once again on your complexity and your maturity of your brand and where you're at today. Maybe you can just have TaxJar turned on and enjoy the reporting and do your own submissions or through your tax attorney or your tax accountant. But as you grow, I see a huge benefit in brands. I know personally some brands that are using it, and they love it because it's one less thing off their plate. They don't have to worry about it. They're compliant. They got reporting to prove it, so it goes to their accountant. But they also know that TaxJar is taking care of the actual submission of the money. I think that's it for the show today. I mean, Mark, thank you. I mean, I've scribbled down like a ton of notes here. I mean, life of learning, that's just kind of my mantra. I think that as unsexy as tax is, it's a necessary thing that we have to do. Thank you for, doubling down and not taking failure for over the years and choosing to put all your energy now into TaxJar, having a great remote team and awesome roadmap of kind of where you're headed and focusing on this sort of area that's changing rapidly with all the states coming on board now and wanting to get their slice of this pie. So I appreciate that. And, you know, once again, thanks for sharing your knowledge.
Appreciate you saying that. Great to be here. Always appreciate the opportunity about spreading the word about sales tax and how we're trying to help entrepreneurs.
This episode was brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try OmniSend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.